Hey guys, it is so exciting to be here this last Monday Night Live. I am thrilled to be here with you. My name is Josh. I'm on staff, and I have the joy and privilege of wrapping up our anchored series that we have been going on throughout this semester, where we have been learning about the three anchors of Chi Alpha. And as we talk about what it means to thrive in our walks with Jesus as we're in Chi Alpha, as we leave Chi Alpha, wherever we go, that if we were to get these things, if we were to understand these three anchors, and they will go with us wherever we go. We can be an iBanker in Manhattan. We could go work with IJM in Ghana. We could even survive in Nova. If we were to understand these three anchors. And so I'm thrilled to wrap that series up tonight. And so what we're going to do is we're going to be in the book of 2 John. 2 John is right between 1 John and 3 John. It's good. It's towards the very end of your Bible, right before Revelation. And so this past weekend was my son's fifth birthday party. His name is Levi. It was his fifth birthday party. His birthday is not for another week, but, you know, life gets crazy, and so you just plan birthday parties when you can. And so we had, I don't know, a whole lot of people at our house this weekend for his birthday party, and we had We had 350 water balloons for five-year-olds, which was fantastic. We had a slip-and-slide T-ball. So my kids are into baseball right now, and so the water would sprout up and hold the ball floating in the air, and then they would all try to hit it. Then it would slip and slide for the bases. And then we had a bounce house because my wife's brother bought a bounce house, because why wouldn't you do that on Craigslist? Actually, not a joke. And so we had a bounce house there. And as some of the kids were leaving, they said, "This has been the best day of my life." And I was like, "Well, you're welcome. No problem." But as I was setting up the bounce house, Katie's dad and I were setting up the bounce house. Hey, this is just a pro tip for those of you that Hunter, as you're getting ready to get married, figure out what you're going to call the parents-in-laws early, and like just name that. So Katie's parents and I never went through that, and so I just call them Katie's parents. Every time I see them, I call them you or hey or pawpaw or grandma. And so Katie's dad and I are hanging out. We're setting up the bounce house, and it's got this big generator blowing air in, and it's got another thing where it's letting air out. And I like locked it up as tight as I can so we could hold all the air in. And her dad looked at me and said, "Yeah, let's not do that. There's got to be something to release some of the pressure. Because if not, the thing's just going to blow up, and I don't think that's how you want Levi to spend his birthday." I'm like, "Well, you're not wrong." And so I released some of the pressure, and the bounce house was able to stay up. And then as I was thinking about that this weekend, as I was thinking about it today, I realized that some of you are getting ready to enter into a situation where you feel a lot of pressure. Those of you sitting here in these first few rows, you're heading off into the unknown, and you feel a lot of pressure. Those of you that are in the outer rows or up in the balcony, that as you think about going home, you realize that the old adage that home is a hard place to live holy rings very true. You don't know what your internship's going to look like. You don't know what anything's going to look like. And you know that you feel a lot of pressure. And that's what I love about our text tonight, is that as we look at a church that was under pressure, John writes this to strengthen and encourage them. And that is what I hope to do for you and with you tonight. And so let's read in 2 John. John writes, he says, the elder, he says, "To the lady chosen by God and to her children whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love." And so John is writing this letter to encourage a young church that is under persecution, that these hard times have risen up around this church, and we don't exactly know the lady who John writes this letter to, and scholars say they believe that John doesn't name her by name because he's afraid for her life. He's afraid for what the political realm will do to her, and as this pressure has built up around her and around the church that she's a part of, John is fearful for them, so that if somebody were to find this letter, he doesn't want her to be able to be identified. And John says, "Grace and mercy and peace to you." And how can that be? What can that look like, and how will they survive this pressure? You already know the answer. It's the three anchors. And so let's go ahead and get started. The first one is real responsibility. John writes this to a church that is young in her faith. She's this woman and her church that is there. And what we know about the church in this time is that the church didn't exist. The only way for the church to exist was for people to tell other people about Jesus. So what has happened is this, in this church is as they have gotten more favor, as they have told more people, as they have told more people have begun to come, and then people are getting upset that the church is growing in number and in power, and they're trying to stop it. They're trying to take control of it. And so what we know is that this young church, this young woman, has embraced real responsibility for those that are around her, that she would share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that she would invest and invite in those that are around her. And I think when we think about real responsibility, it easily is just as easy as that. Invest and invite. So fourth years, what I would say to you, as you move into new communities, invest early in the people around you and invite them often. There is nothing more thrilling in the Christian walk than to invite your friends to church, than to invite your friends to Chi Alpha, to tell them the hope that you have and to share with them deeply. I play softball on Tuesday nights in the city, and as I'm driving to the softball field, my kids and I pray, help daddy be courageous and actually talk to his friends about Jesus today. Some days I'm successful, other days I'm not as successful, but it's constantly on my mind that as I meet people that I would invest and invite them into the community that is around me. First, second, and third years, Hunter's already told you, this is yours now. There's a lot of seats up here that are filled by fourth years that will only be filled if we take the call to invest and invite those that show up next year and invite them into this community that we have in Chi Alpha. And that's where John turns next with this letter. He says, it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one that we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. John says, this is not a new command. This is the command that we would love one another. And you have felt this in the community. You have seen this. And what you know is that this is the joy of the Christian life, to live in community and to love one another. I love that John doesn't say, just love the ones that are like you. As I look out and see core groups gather around here, I love seeing that some of you, the only thing you have in common is Jesus. And that is more than enough as you love one another. I have a picture to show you. This is me at a pirate dinner. And my wife, we look fantastic. This is vacation, I believe, last summer. This is Kai and Hannah Allyang. They were 07 BME grads. That's my wife and I. I was an 07 grad. Katie was an 08 grad. That's Allison and Mike Roseberry. Allison graduated with me in 07. Mike graduated with Katie in 08. And then Jeremy and Christina Owens. Christina was actually the young lady that stood up here and said that our kids don't call our friends. They call them aunts and uncles. And so these are some of the best friends I have in the world, and we vacation together still. I graduated 10 years ago. We still go on vacation together because of what God did in us in Chi Alpha. This past Friday, I was at dinner on the corner. I saw the Straubs there. There they are. And I was walking with an alum from 2009. I was like, he lives in Dallas now. I'm like, tell me about your life. And he's like, actually, the biggest joy of my life right now is every Friday morning at 7:30 in the morning when some friends from Chi Alpha in college, we get together every Friday morning, sometimes for 45 minutes, sometimes for an hour, and we just share with each other. We've moved to Dallas. We've since long moved on from Charlottesville. But what God did in us in college has lasted throughout. So fourth years, what I would say to you, vacation together. Love one another well as you spread throughout the world. First, second, and third years, what I would say to you is love one another well for the rest of your time here. Build those deep friendships. Love no matter what is on the other end. The thing about the command to love one another is that you can't control what happens on the other end. You can only control that you would love one another. Control what you can control, love one another, and let's see this thing really take shape. And let's see it change lives to where everyone in here would constantly be on vacation together. It would be a lot like Sikkim, I guess. And then finally, John ends. He says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. And then he goes on to say that there are deceivers coming in around. And what I would say is the last one, the last anchor is real devotional life. That how can we protect ourselves? How can we be in obedience to his commands? How can we protect ourselves from the pressure of the things around us unless we know the capital T truth? And this has been the thing that has kept me alive, that has kept me going, that has kept me pumping to live a real devotional life. To study the scriptures daily, to study them as often as I can, to commune with Jesus in prayer. And I have a picture. This is, I love Dr. Seuss because he loves the Who's. So I have a picture of the Grinch. And as you all know, the Grinch had a heart that was two sizes too small. I think it's just because he hadn't been reading his Bible enough. Because that's what I've seen happen in my own life. That as I have read the scriptures, as I have communed with Jesus, my heart has grown. That as I have done this, as I have been obedient to the scriptures, as I have studied his word, as I have spent time in prayer, that God has grown my heart. He has taken what was once bad and he has grown it into what my wife would now marry, which is fantastic. And so what I would say to you is that as you go, fourth years, life's going to get crazy. Commutes, especially if you're a Nova, I keep telling you not to do that. Some of you are going to work 12-hour days. Some of you are going to work much more than that. Some of you are going to spend all your time looking for jobs. And as things happen, mark out time to spend time with Jesus. My wife can tell you on days that I have not, and she just looks at me and says, "You need to go read your Bible right now." And she's right. I know that I'm shorter with my kids. I'm shorter with those around me because my heart has not grown because the scriptures daily provide me with that. First, second, and third years, as you go into new situations, as you go into whatever this summer would hold, I know that when I, if you're a first year or I guess second or third year, I went home every summer and I was always scared. I didn't grow up in a family that was like beneficial to my faith. I love my family, but I always thought, this could be the time that I would backslide. And what I want to say to you is that if you hold true, if you would abide, that you will not even have to think about that. The summer will be a time of growth for you. That wherever you would be, that you can thrive in your walk with Jesus as you embrace these three anchors, as you live a real devotional life, lived out in real community, embracing real responsibility. That thought of what could be does not have to be anything but positive onward and upward until he comes again. So what we're going to do to end our semester is we're just going to pray together. What I'm going to have you do is I want you, you're sitting amongst your friends, and I want you to just get in groups, 2, 3, maybe 4 at the most. I just want you to share about what the next step is for you and what you feel like is going on in your own heart, where you feel like you need prayer the most. If it's one of the anchors that you feel like you could go a little wavy in, Let's pray for that. If there's one that you feel like this is the one I have down, let's believe for that in faith. And so Rigo's going to play some house music, and we're just going to gather. We're going to give you probably right around 4 to 5 minutes to pray for each other, to pray for your next steps, fourth years, to pray for your summers, first through third years. And we're just going to end this on a high note. Go. Praise the Lord. My heart is full. My heart is full. Fourth years, we love you, and we will miss you, but we know God goes with you, and so we're excited for you. First, second, and third years, can I just say this? The stories, weren't those four powerful stories? Thank you to you guys. That was powerful. Powerful. Let me just say this. First, second, and third years, those stories can be your story. But here's how it'll happen. Don't just wade in the waters at the beach. Jump in head first for the rest of the time that you have. Squeeze the sponge for everything it's worth. And these stories will be your stories. They're already in motion, you know that. But dive in head first. Man, my heart is full, but we gotta close this down. We gotta get out of the building. So I want to pronounce the benediction one last time for this school year. May God
bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and turn his countenance towards you. And may he give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. We love you. He loves you. Go in peace. Amen.